morning, everybody. How are you? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. It is Friday, Fly Jams Friday, coming up in a little bit. Get your Fly Jams request ready. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. We got Straight Out of Context. That's when you listen 24-7 to this radio station. And whenever anybody says anything that you can pull out of context and it sounds dirty and it makes you giggle, jot down the day, the time, who said it. Send it to nickdshow@gmail.com. Same thing with Nick D Show Spies. Whenever I am mentioned or the show is mentioned, again, you're a spy. Jot it all down and send it to nickdshow@gmail.com. And we got You Big Dummy coming up. And I haven't been here for two Fridays, so I'm very excited to have all the regular features be features. Whatever that means. Hey, Esmeralda.
Yes.
You know who was thrilled about the giveaway this morning?
Friends of yours?
The wind beneath my wing.
Particularly Count Farchula. He was
right.
Sitting next to me. He was very excited.
Look into my eyes. Gotcha.
See?
And he just couldn't contain himself.
Yeah, right? Well, he had to contain himself, but now he's really going nuts.
That garlic gets me every time.
He's not supposed to eat garlic. He ate garlic. He was so excited
Dracula.
That Jeff was here. And
that will live forever, too.
That's right.
Is he reminiscing about his buddies? Bella.
Sink your teeth into that.
That's right.
Was he what do you call it, when they have people who know about stuff on
a consultant?
Yes. Was he a consultant on those Dracula movies?
And then, now, Frankenstein Monster also appeared in a lot of the movies that we gave away this morning.
Right.
So Fartenstein was also very excited.
Oh, I felt it in my boots.
See, he felt it in his boots.
Wow.
Yeah, and
they really should stop eating so much broccoli.
I know. Are you kidding? I got to sit in here with them.
That one rattled my boat.
And again, I always, every time I talk about Fartenstein, I always have to thank our great engineer, Adam Phillips, because Fartenstein was dead. Fartenstein, you squeeze his finger and it wouldn't work.
He was dead, and then he got a...
And yeah, well, Dr. Adam Frankenstein Phillips rewired him and added a little button, and now... See?
So he came back twice.
That's right. And seriously, Adam Phillips is Frankenstein. He's Dr. Frankenstein. He brought him back to life. So there you go. All right. So, hey, it's Halloween time. Did you know that, Esmeralda?
I did.
Uh-oh.
Someone torturing him?
I just think he's sitting in a room just screaming.
Because for a second, in the beginning, I remember thinking, is he falling?
No.
He's falling from somewhere and he just keeps yelling?
I don't really know. All I know is that this is supposed to be a sound effect that you should play for, like, your Halloween party.
Or is this tortured screams?
It's just, yeah.
Like he's a ghost and
he's
just
I liked
tortured.
Your theory the other morning about that this is just a language that he speaks.
Right, yeah, he can't.
Because he's trying to communicate to someone, and then suddenly his friends come in who also speak scream.
Right.
I think they're coming in here. Hold on. There it is.
Yeah, he was saying hello.
Yeah.
That was the hello. And then, yeah. They were all just watching the Bears game.
Oh, there you go. Hello, everybody. All right. That goes on for another, 40 seconds.
I do love the screams that just kind of get bored.
Yeah.
They're the bored ones.
That's scary. So, hey, check this out, Esmeralda. Now, let me ask you a question. Would you stay in a spooky place? Would you freak out like if you
spooky.
Like
yeah like how like hospital spooky
well
or house it would depend on the circumstances of why it's spooky.
Okay, well, what if it's like it's purported to be haunted? Would you freak out if you could stay like in a haunted village?
Yeah, but with what?
What do you mean? Oh, you mean what is the specific haunting?
Right. Like, are they mad?
Oh,
because they were murdered there, or they just kind of died and
they're
just
like,
hanging out.
We're hanging out, man.
Yeah, they live there.
They're just playing some dead poker.
Yeah, because I don't, you know, the kind where they're real mad.
Yeah.
Because they got murdered and now they're just.
So you don't want that.
Yeah, they don't want anyone there.
So
I don't
you
there.
Want a cool ghost, is what you're saying.
I want I want like a Casper situation. They live there, but,
yeah.
You know.
Casper.
They'll deal with you.
What a wimp that guy was.
His brothers, right?
What?
The brothers?
Were they brothers?
No, there was the brothers, the ghost brothers. Were they brothers or were they just other ghosts that showed up?
In Casper?
Yeah.
I don't remember.
I'm thinking the movie.
With Christina Ricci?
Yes. Remember, there was the three ghosts.
Oh,
and they were
yeah,
mean.
That's right. That was a good movie, actually.
They were so mean to little Casper.
Yeah, well, Casper was a wimp. He should have slapped him around.
Well, he was a little kid.
I don't care. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, the reason I ask, Esmeralda, is because Airbnb is offering two guests a stay in Dracula's castle on Halloween night.
See, that one sounds cool.
you know who likes it? See?
You'd want to bring him along.
Of course,
like, hey,
I would bring
your buddy.
I would cuddle with Count Fartula. Here's what it says. If flickering candles, squeaky staircases, and coffin beds fit your description of a cozy vacation home, Airbnb has the perfect listing for you. As The Telegraph reports, the lodging service is inviting two guests to stay at Bran Castle or Dracula's Castle on the night of October 31st. Though Dracula author Bram Stoker never visited the location in person, it's believed to have been one of the primary inspirations for the castle featured in his famous novel. He described his fictional fortress as sitting on the very edge of a terrible precipice, quote-unquote, a striking parallel to the real-life building in the Carpathian Mountains in Transylvania, Romania. According to Airbnb listings, guests will arrive at the castle in a horse-drawn carriage at sunset. I already love this.
What happened at Dracula's castle other than Dracula biting people?
Well, I mean, the whole focus of the movie is at Dracula's castle and the story.
But it's just spooky. Like, there wasn't real, like, things in there. Do you know what I mean?
What do you mean? It wasn't haunted? It just Dracula lived there and killed a bunch of people and ate and drank their blood and stuff, and there were vampires running around.
Yeah,
He had three vampire wives that were...
Yeah, but he... Other than that...
What do you mean, other than that?
It's not like there's crazy dragon wolf monsters trying to eat you or anything.
No. Mm-mm.
So, yeah, it's just spooky because that's how he liked it.
That's how he lived.
He just liked it dark.
The description reads, "The chill that suddenly fills the carriage is not the evening mist, but it's a fear older than the forests now grown up around the castle rock. It's the lair of vampires, and you cannot leave until dawn. From there, visitors will be welcomed by their host for the night, Dakarg Stoker, a great-grandnephew of Bram, and a vampire expert. After dining on a blood-enriching meal, guests will retire to the Count's crypt for a good night's sleep in velvet-lined coffin beds."
I can't deal with... I couldn't.
Come on!
I can't do that's too much. For me.
I don't think they... My guess is that they're not going to put a lid on it.
They don't have lids. But still, it's the idea of being in
a coffin. Like, that freaks you out.
I don't want to be in one before I got
Dracula's castle does enforce a few rules. Garlic-scented items are banned. Mirror selfies are frowned upon. Well, sure, because you don't cast a reflection. Crossing cutlery... in any kind of cross formation is prohibited. Anyone who can agree to adhere to these conditions can enter to win their stay through Airbnb. As was the case with a one-night stay in Paris in the Paris catacombs offered through the site last Halloween, guests will be chosen based on their response to an essay question. This year's prompt, explain what you would say to Count Dracula if you were to meet him in his castle. So that's what you got to do. I think that sounds fantastic.
That sounds cool. I wouldn't want to be in those catacombs, though. There's a bunch of skeletons. Like, those are real dead people down there.
Yeah, yeah.
No, thank you.
You know, speaking of catacombs, there is a church, and I always forget the name of it. Dan, you're going to have to look it up again. Look up Dublin Church with Mummies. That's the There is a church in downtown Dublin in Ireland.
St. Michan's? McCann's?
Yeah, Michan's. McCann's. Yeah, that's what it is, St. McCann's. And it's in downtown Dublin, Esmeralda. And in the catacombs, in the basement underneath the church, there's a lot of history in this church. It's a beautiful place. Underneath, though, are what they call the St. Michan's mummies. And they're actually mummified people. And you...
Are they in tombs?
No, they're laying in the they're on the ground in a catacomb underneath the church. So you take a tour. Heather and I, my ex, when we went to Ireland, took a tour, and we had a great tour guide. First of all, he had the great Irish accent, which always makes me just giddy because it's my favorite accent on the planet is the Irish accent. Saoirse Ronan, by the way, is like, every time she speaks, I melt. I can't take it. I love the Irish accent so much. I want to kiss Colin Farrell when he talks. That's how much I love the Irish accent. So anyway, this guy was great, and he was really sort of, he built up the whole thing. We went room to room and everything, and when we got to the catacombs, he started telling creepy stories, and he really built the mood really beautifully. And then you go down into the catacombs and they remove, because they've got like these, they're in like three different sections. And you go under, down the stairs and down, and then you're in this catacomb. You're in like this dirt. There's dirt on your, there's earth, nothing but earth on your feet. You walk through and they remove this, you know, they've got like this steel sort of like a gate that is between you and the mummies. And then they take the gate off. You can go inside and touch the mummies.
You can touch them?
Yes.
That doesn't seem proper.
And it's supposed to be good luck.
Oh.
It's good luck. Now, here's the deal. Let me explain something to you. We went in. We touched the mummies. It was awesome. They were awesome. They looked fantastic.
They look good for mummies.
They look great for mummies. And it's supposed to be good luck. So I was wearing my black. This was in 2010. I was wearing my Blackhawks hat. And I rubbed the Blackhawks hat on one of the mummies. So that's why the Hawks won their first Stanley Cup since 1961.
The mummy gave you a wink.
The mummy said, the Hawks will win. So I credit the mummies in Dublin, Ireland for the first Stanley Cup of the modern era, for the first Stanley Cup winners in 2010.
That really doesn't seem proper.
It was awesome.
You can touch them.
It was fantastic.
I would think that they would just disintegrate at one point from everybody.
They have, well, they have, them. They, you know, from what they said, they're in, you know, their condition, obviously. But because of the condition of the catacombs, because it's so moist down there, and you know, the air is really thick and very, very moist, that's what keeps them the way they are. It was awesome, Esmeralda.
That's cool.
It was cool as hell.
I find that stuff interesting, but I don't know if I'd want to touch them.
Oh, it's good luck. The Hawks won the cup because of that.
You should tell them that.
I did. I told Jay Blunk that. He told me to shut up and leave his office. But that's a really cool place, though. If you ever go to Dublin, well, first of all, Ireland is the best. It's an amazing place. If you've never been, you should go. Anyway, but don't kiss the Blarney Stone. Don't. Because guys pee on it. So I you know, like the locals pee on it so that when, like, Americans show up and kiss it, they go, that's good. You're kissing urine.
It's sterile, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Sure. So that's what you do. You go to Ireland, you kiss pee-covered stones, and you rub mummies. That's why Ireland is so fantastic. No wonder they drink so much over there.
So full of luck.
Yeah. Anyway, very cool stuff. So I would love to do the Dracula thing. The Dracula's Castle. I would
get
love
to
that.
Writing.
Okay, I will. I'm going to start on my essay now. I'll see you guys later. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. Live in the Allstate Studio on the 7th floor of the Trip Tower. We're here till 5 a.m. It's Friday, so Fly Jams Friday. You know, Dan, I realize that you never get your own requests on Fly Jams Friday. So why don't we do that today?
Yeah, I think I could arrange that.
Can you? I just want one.
Okay.
So you take the other two.
Okay.
All right.
Sounds good.
Okay, and I'll give you the one. I'll write it down and I'll give it to you because I don't want to say it on the air. But anyway, so we'll get some Fly Jams from the mind of a DJ Shagru. So. Now, Esmeralda, do you like the? Do you ever see the old Universal horror movies and stuff?
I haven't seen any.
Really?
No.
Oh,
well,
man.
Again, it's a whole thing of like I don't see them anywhere in terms of like TV or Netflix or something. So I'm not gonna ever see them. So maybe Netflix.
You'll see
get on
them.
Top of it.
Netflix, get on top of it. Did you hear that, Netflix? Well, I have the iconic looks of movie monsters and how they were created.
Mm.
Now, 1925 was The Phantom of the Opera. Now, you know what The Phantom of the Opera looks like, right?
Yes.
Very scary.
Yes.
Lon Chaney Sr., who we were talking about a little bit earlier, introduced American filmgoers to Eric, a.k.a. The Phantom of the Opera, in his 1925 silent film. He accentuated his nostrils with black paint and liberally applied dark eyeliner. Chaney also popped in a serrated set of false teeth into his mouth. But the weirdest stuff concerned his nose. To contort it, Chaney attached a strip of fish skin and then poked himself with wires. As you might imagine, it wasn't a pleasant experience. Sometimes it would bleed like hell, cinematographer Charles Van Enger told the Los Angeles Times. We never stopped shooting. He would suffer through it. They made a movie of his life called The Man with a Thousand Faces because he was like not only a really gifted a silent film actor and a sound actor, but he was one of the very first guys to do extreme makeup. And he would really contort his face. He would use wires and he would use all kinds of stuff to stretch his face out and do all kinds of crazy stuff. And the results were pretty astonishing. You know, and you know, this is a true story, Esmeralda. When Phantom of the Opera opened in theaters in 1925, when the mask was pulled off of his face, when she pulls the mask off his face, there were people would faint in the theater because they'd never seen anything like it before.
It's pretty gross.
It's pretty scary now. And that was 1925, and it's still scary.
Yeah, no, it's still freaky. Like, it's scarier than most things I've seen.
You know what else is still really scary that dates back to the silent era? Nosferatu.
Yes.
So creepy looking.
Freaks me out.
Yeah. So creepy. All right, how about Dracula, that we were just talking about, 1931? Lugosi reportedly insisted on applying his own makeup for the film as he did on stage. He refused to wear the fangs Universal wanted, but agreed to a hairpiece that would add the famous widow's peak to his somewhat thinning hairline. Some also speculate that the medallion Dracula wears was Lugosi's own personal possession. It was clearly very important to him because he was allegedly buried in a version of it when he died in 56. He was also buried in the Dracula cape is the legend that I heard. He was buried with the medallion and the cape. So
I could see that. I mean, that's what made him.
Yeah. And he played the part on Broadway to massive amounts of. That was a huge hit on Broadway. Dracula was a huge hit on Broadway, which is inevitably why it was made into a movie. But that's where he made his, you know, that was like his quintessential character. Unfortunately, he had, you know, Bela Lugosi had a very distinctive voice, as you know. And any other time he tried to break out from play any other character, it was always weird because he'd open his mouth and you're like, dude, you're Dracula. Doesn't matter. You're Dracula. In the movie that we were talking about, Black Friday, that Rich showed a couple of weeks ago, he played like a gangster in it. But every time he opened his mouth, it was like, it's gangster Dracula. So, all right, we got a break. We got the news coming up. I'll give you some more reasons or how iconic movie monsters were created. And then we've got all of our regular features coming up. Morning, everybody. How you doing? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. Live in the Allstate studio on the 7th floor of the Trib Tower. We're here until 5 a.m. Steve Grzanich with the opening bell at 5 and Steve Cochran at 6. Our phone number and text number is 312-981-7200. Text in, and a little bit later on, you call in for your request for Fly Jam Friday. DJ Shagru is going to be spinning. Esmeralda the Heart Melda will be spinning on her head. Wiki Wiki Nikki is here, and wait a minute. Viggity Viggity Vic Verified Double V is ready to rock. So, all right. We're talking about how the classic looks for some of the monsters were created. How about King Kong? Now, Esmeralda, have you ever seen the original King Kong?
I have not.
Oh, man.
I've seen bits and pieces, seen them up on the building.
I need. Now, did you see the remake? The well, there were two remakes, but did you?
I saw it was so long. I was like, I can't.
No, the Peter Jackson remake from 2005.
Yeah, it looked really long.
It was great.
Wasn't it like 2 hours and something?
Oh no! It was over three.
Oh cool.
Yeah.
No.
It's great. It's so great. The remake from 1976 is pretty bad. Pretty ridiculous. Movie that introduced Jessica Lange to the world, though. I will be happy about that. Jeff Bridges, by the way, in that movie, you should, Esmeralda, Google Jeff Bridges King Kong for images. Google image Jeff Bridges King Kong and just take a look at how magnificent he looked in that movie. You'll see.
Oh, my God. Is he King Kong?
Was he King Kong?
Was he the...
That's a magnificent specimen of beard and hair.
Did they glue that beard on?
No, that's him. That's all. Jeff Bridges is a man.
He looks Amish.
Yeah. That was
very Amish looking beard.
So that was Jeff Bridges in King Kong. Well, in the original King Kong, 1933, which is an amazing movie, I screened it at my film club a couple of years ago. We all saw it on the big screen, and it's stunning to see that movie on the big screen. And the fact that it was made in 1933 and as effective as the effects still are and how exciting that movie is, I can't imagine what audiences in 1933 were like when that movie came out. Because seriously, I watched it on the big screen 2 years ago, and it was as exciting as like Raiders. It's like that level of really cool adventure and effects. It's an amazing movie. The two men behind King Kong were Marion C. Cooper and Ernest B. Shodzak. After abandoning their initial plan to get a gorilla and Komodo dragons and just roll, the pair, because there's a dinosaur fight in the film, so they were going to get a gorilla and a Komodo dragon. They went to stop-motion expert Willis O'Brien, who was a genius. O'Brien applied his movie magic to an 18-inch model of Kong, sculpted by Marcel Delgado. He also built a full-size monkey hand and a full-size head to complete the illusion. Along with those cinematic sleights of hand, the movie featured groundbreaking use of miniature rear projection as well. So they had a full-size hand so Fay Wray could fit into it.
That's cool.
Yeah. Built a giant hand. All right, how about Alien, 1979? Have you seen Alien?
I have.
Yeah, that's a great movie. Scary. The alien that terrorizes Ellen Ripley came from the designs of H.R. Giger. The surrealist was chosen to design the movie's extraterrestrials after working with screenwriter Dan O'Bannon on his failed adaptation of Dune. Once the final product was complete, Ridley Scott, the director, hired a 6'10" Nigerian art student named Boljalai Badejo to play the alien. Because his tail was so ungainly, Badejo had to sit on a custom swing between takes. It's pretty effective, though. It's very effective, actually. And An American Werewolf in London. We'll do this one for the last one. Legendary makeup artist Rick. Have you ever seen that one, Esmeralda?
I've seen bits. Wait, is that the one?
That's
where the
one
guy...
with Making It with David Naughton from the I'm a
yeah.
Pepper, You're a Pepper.
He and turns. Then his friend dies.
Yeah,
but comes back.
He comes back.
I've only seen bits and pieces.
It's a great movie. If you get a chance, if it's on cable, great movie, especially this time of year. One of the best movies to watch around the Halloween holiday. Anyway, legendary makeup artist Rick Baker got his first Academy Award for transforming David Naughton into a hairy hound. Baker and director John Landis had specific ideas about the werewolf transformation. They didn't want to do gradual dissolves used in the old monster movies. They wanted to show the pain and movement of a body in metamorphosis. While shooting the big scene, Baker applied the full wolf fur to Naughton first, then let the crew film it. Then he trimmed back to shoot the earlier stages of the transformation. He also came up with the Change-O heads and Change-O hands, which were fake heads and hands with mechanisms inside that stretch and distorted the props to fit the transformation. Rick Baker, one of the innovators of the true innovators of movie makeup and effects. Really amazing stuff. So, yeah. All right. So there you go. There's a little look into some of the monsters and how they were arrived.
Open the coffin. Let me out.
Oh, see, it's his own fault. Telling people to open a coffin and let him off. Quit farting, Fartenstein, or Fartula.